It's time for JT the Brick.
Raiders defense is no joke. The offensive line is good. The Raider defensive line is better. We all agree on that, right? Mad Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins, those guys are train wreckers.
There's definitely a little tinkering going on. We'll see, you know, what sticks, and we'll put, you know, the best version of our defense out there, you know, at the beginning of the season, and hopefully it keeps improving.
But our freaking D-line is nasty. The D-line of the Raiders is nasty the way it used to be.
JT the Brick.
But this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going into L.A. like Russell Crowe in Gladiator going into Rome. Okay, this guy, Antonio Pierce, is going to be like the movie Gladiator, leading everyone into Los Angeles. And he ain't joking.
And now...
Don't worry about our quarterback, buddy. Worry about yours.
Here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, JT with you on Friday from my home backup studio on the mean streets of Summerlin on a humid, sweltering day here, but it looks a little bit different than it has the last couple of weeks. Hopefully everybody's hydrated and keeping an eye on their friends, family, the elderly, pets, everyone involved here. For those who are listening to us outside of the market here in Las Vegas, it's been one hell of a June into early July here as we sit here Friday, July 12th, and we're counting down to get out of this heat and head to Costa Mesa in a little bit as the Raiders will move their training camp, which was really smart to do. Really smart to do. Don't care about how gorgeous the indoor facility is. I love it. You love it. Love Allegiant Stadium. Let's get the hell out of here. Let's get some weather. Let's get everybody, you know, in the proper conditions to play training camp football and then come out to this sweltering heat again and then start the regular season off. You know, the Raiders open up on the road for the first two games. Remember, I keep telling you, reminding you, they open up against the Harbaugh brothers. So it's going to be hot. So imagine a home opener. A home opener week one at Allegiant tailgating and what those conditions would be like. And as I said, I've been out here since 1996, and I don't recall the heat being this hot. I know temperatures vary wherever you are here in the valley. But man, from being at 120 already to 117 a few times, and we'll see what we get today. I think, what are they saying, 114 today as we are wrapping up our week. I got a bunch of people already in our YouTube feed. We'd like you to be a part of that. It's real easy. Reason why we're doing this is we're going to have a video stream of this show, and I'm about to have an announcement on what we're going to do with the Raiders when the season starts. So I'd like to build this platform up a little bit before we take it to the next level. So be one of the few to get in here and be the first to get into our YouTube channel, JT the Brick YT is where you subscribe. It's free. Today you're inside my home, which is not crazy today. We had a sprinkler issue today. I got a little construction going on in the front of my house, but they're not coming back till after lunch. And I have my bucket of Modelo's on Friday. And today is really good because it's the opening of NBA Summer League. So we're excited about that. And that's going to be a lot of fun as we get ready for this star-studded event. This star-studded event is going to be really big. There's going to be a lot of celebrities out for this Laker game at 4:30, including a couple of Raiders celebrities. So if you're going to Summer League, it kicks off and it's going to be great as USA Basketball has been here training for the Olympics, USA Canada, former President Obama, the Vice President was here, a whole bunch of dignitaries, and being out and around town, a lot of people in town. A lot of people are in town for this basketball. Last night, I went and saw Dead & Company again at the Sphere, which was a lot of fun, and I'll tell you about it a little bit later on in the show. Walked in through Venetian, walked in there, had a great night, was in a suite, name dropping, got into a suite last night and had a couple of cervezas, but it was an early night. The concert ends at a reasonable time, easy to get in and out of. So I'm all raring to go today, as today we're going to deliver two games as we continue our countdown. We're still in the honorable mentions of the top 10 Raider games of all time. So we're scoured through the history of the Raiders, and we tried to find the 10 best games of all time. And it's hard. It's really hard. We're not going for a perfect score. We're just going for some debates here. And today, we are going to give you a game each hour, and they both involve the New Orleans Saints. Both involve the New Orleans Saints. So that's going to be really cool as I look at my notes today. And these are modern games, so I think Raider fans can get behind these games today, and we can talk about them because there's two games that you should remember, and they both involve New Orleans. And so, look, we don't have much of a history with Atlanta. We're playing them on Monday night this year. We really don't have a history with Atlanta. But we do have a history with the New Orleans Saints. the Derek Carr game, Jack Del Rio game, that legendary game that was played September 11th, 2016. We're going to get to that first. The Raiders rally to beat the Saints in the regular season opener, 35-34. Incredible game. No doubt. This is exactly why we're doing this, to relive some great moments and some great games. And then the other game is going to be Mrs. Davis, Carol Davis, lighting the torch in memory of her late husband, the first lady of Raider Nation. The first game ever played at Allegiant Stadium, which I was in the building and fans were not, due to the COVID restrictions and the opening of Allegiant Stadium, where the Raiders had no fans. And that was a memorable game. And for fans who weren't there, obviously no fans could be there. For the few of us who were in the building, I can't wait to go over that game. And it was memorable. Raiders had some good home openers, beating Lamar Jackson, beating Drew Brees. And some big home openers. This year we get Carolina, arguably the worst team in all of football, and that's the home opener. And the Raiders have to win that game, depending on what happens in those first two games as we get going. So as we get rolling, if you want to get in, best time to do it is now. 702-365-9200. If you have any memories of those games, let us know. But I wanted to give you a topic that I think is starting to build now. You might have just heard the Rich Eisen show in Vegas. That comes on before us. Rich does a lot of Raiders content. He likes the Raiders, respects the Davis family. And Rich, whenever I'm in the studio before a show and I'm listening with my headset on, a lot of times Rich Eisen is talking favorably about the Raiders. So this Devontae Adams topic on the new documentary Netflix series, Receiver, Devontae went out on a tour. And Devontae's out on the road doing what you're supposed to do. You sell the series. And that's what's happening right now. Jefferson's out there doing it. George Kittle's doing it. All the receivers that are involved in this went on a road show. But I want to get to Aaron Rodgers, because the Jets are one of the low-hanging fruit topics that we've seen with Aaron Rodgers. And it's an awful topic, because the Jets have been a terrible franchise, a really bad franchise, and an awful team for most of your life. Unless you were born and raised and remember Joe Namath. Joe Namath, the Hall of Famer, one of the greats of all time, was a part of the biggest upset, arguably still, in Super Bowl history, beating the Colts in Miami. And that's it. And I grew up in Long Island. I grew up 20 minutes from where the Jets used to play. And then the Jets now moved to New Jersey with the Giants. And I got family members of mine who are Jet fans, my brother-in-law, and they've been miserable most of their life with the Jets. And now the Jets are getting in the way of the Raiders in regards to this garbage, low-hanging fruit that Aaron Rodgers is trying to stir the pot and get Devontae to the Jets. So again, this was from the American Century Golf Tournament yesterday, as Aaron Rodgers is up in Tahoe, if you didn't get a chance to hear it.
What's up? Do you think Luke Getsy's going to utilize Devontae Adams good in the new Raiders offense?
I love Luke Getsy. He's a fantastic coach.
Awesome.
Love and I love Devontae. I can't wait to play with him.
Awesome.
Again.
Great. Love to hear it.
Yeah.
How's your game today? How are you hitting them?
Good. Harrison's playing really well.
Is he?
He's a little shy, but just trying to get him out of the show.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going good.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
All right. So that's him yesterday. And what he's doing is he's just trying to be funny. He's just trying to be funny because he doesn't want to address why he was missing mandatory mini camp. Where did he go in Europe? What was he doing? And he's going to get that when he's back in New York. He's going to get it hard there. But the Devontae Adams scenario is interesting, because Devontae is still an elite receiver in this league. I'd say top three. Most people have said number one for a while. You know, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, these younger receivers are pretty damn good. There's some good young receivers in this league. But Devontae is still up there near the top. But he's got to win. I mean, Devontae left a pretty good situation in Green Bay to come to the Raiders to play with Derek Carr and to be there close for his grandmother and his family. If you've been watching on this Netflix series, it's been pretty cool to go behind the scenes of Devontae's life with his wife who's pregnant with their first boy, and to see these kids, his two daughters, and the views of Summerlin and Red Rock at his beautiful home, what he drives. You know, you're getting to see Devontae a little bit more behind the scenes, and I think that's refreshing. And then Devontae went after the Chargers after the Chargers went out after him in the schedule release. And this is what Devontae said back, and he said it multiple times. This is just one of the sound bites as Devontae's paying attention to what's going on with the Chargers in L.A.
It was a little trend a little bit ago where, you know, a few of the social media pages were posting some funny stuff of, you know, when the schedule was releasing. So they posted me and then like a trash can or something like that, the Chargers did. So I thought about responding on social media to it and, you know, being funny there, but I figured it'd be better to, you know, just beat their head in real life and continue doing it the way, you know, because my first game against them, I don't know, they clearly forgot.
Yeah, you
like
played
10 catches, 141 yards and a touchdown. And then the next time that same year, it was like 177 yards and, you know, two touchdowns, I think it was that game. So I just wanted to kind of remind them what they've been going through as it pertains to playing against me. And hopefully the people that made that post, because it's not the player's fault. They didn't have anything to do with the posts, but this is directed strictly toward the Chargers social media page. Please keep my name out your mouth and Ooh. Show some.
Are you in this new era where you're just letting it fly and opening up more? Because I was not expecting that. Devontae, I feel like you're at this point of your career where you're just letting it fly.
I am. You know, I'm
good for you.
They treat me like an old man, so I'm going to just act like, because, you know, old men, they don't think. They just say whatever, you know, whatever they feel. So that's how my grandpa is, at least. So I'm just trying to be the old man that they want me to be.
Well, I thought that was a really good soundbite on Up and Adams with Kate Adams there, because he's basically saying, you know, he's an elder statesman, which he's not. He's still a young guy. And, you know, keep your name out, you know, keep my name out of your mouth to the Chargers. And that's good, because the rivalry with the Chargers has mostly been the Chargers over the decades losing to the Raiders, and they've never won a Super Bowl, and they haven't had many iconic moments. But as I told you, the media in Southern California is in the hip pocket of the Chargers, as the Chargers bring them stuffed animals and bagels and invites them to their new practice facility and all that. The media there is desperate, or the Chargers, excuse me, are desperate to get any media coverage in L.A. And NFL Network is based in L.A., right? The NFL Network and their gorgeous studio is there. There's a couple of networks that are based there, including Fox. There are local radio shows and national radio shows, but there aren't many Charger fans. And now the Chargers really feel like this is their moment with Jim Harbaugh. And I would too. You know, if I was a Charger fan, thank God I'm not. If I was, the first thing I'd say is more powder blue, more throwback uniforms, and bring Jim Harbaugh. And they got Jim Harbaugh now. And that's a big moment for the Chargers. I didn't think the Chargers, I thought the Raiders had a better chance of getting Jim Harbaugh than the Chargers over the years, because just, you know, Jim Harbaugh coached in San Francisco. He knew Al Davis very well. Knows Mark Davis. I thought eventually, you know, we'd have a shot at Jim Harbaugh. He got his first coaching job ever with the Raiders. But he ended up going to the Chargers. And he's a really good coach. Really good coach. And he's going to make them better. But I thought what Devontae said was really cool. So as you know, my big rule on the show is I don't talk about players' money. I don't. I just never have. I never will. And it's worked well for me. But when a player's contract is coming up sooner than later, like Devontae's, who has this year and next year, this big money to him, and you look at the future of Devontae Adams, Devontae is going to make up his mind if he's going to be a Raider. He's going to make up his mind, him and his agent. That's going to be his decision. He's going to say, I like the path of Antonio Pierce. I like living here. My family loves it here. I'm catching a lot of balls. We're winning games. And whoa, wait a second. Are we going to the playoffs or not? And the Raiders, no one's picking him to go to the playoffs this year. I mean, barely anybody other than Raider fans. No one in the media is taking the Raiders to be a playoff team. I talked to someone last night at this Dead & Company concert saying, I like the Raiders a lot, but I don't like the quarterback. And how many times have I heard that on this radio show, let alone in public? And I say the same thing. Both quarterbacks are pretty good. They're not elite. They're not great. But they're both pretty good. And as long as the quarterback position doesn't hurt the Raiders this year, their improved defense, the improvement on the offensive line, and this big X factor with Zeus, Zamir White, if Zamir White has this breakout year, it changes everything. Remember, I've been preaching this a lot, and I'm going to pour it on at training camp. If Zamir White comes out this year and just shocks the world and has a monster year, I'm not talking Earl Campbell, Tony Dorsett in their prime. I'm talking just a big year. 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards. Why not? You play bleeping 17 games. You should be able to get 100 yards a game. I'm not asking for 200. I'm not asking for Bo Jackson at Seattle, 219 or whatever the number was the other day. but get roughly around 95, 100 yards a game and do the math on a 17-game schedule. If Zamir White could do that, and Christian Wilkins with Max Crosby changes the essence of this defense, the Raiders are going to be a lot better than people think. They are. They're going to be. And the only thing that can keep the Raiders under 7 wins or 6 wins is if the quarterbacks don't play well, right? It's not going to be Devontae dropping balls. It's not going to be Brock Bowers having balls hitting him in the chest wide open and dropping them. It's going to be the quarterbacks not doing a good enough job to get the ball out accurately, deal with the pass rush, read the defense, come from behind. It'll be mostly on the quarterbacks if the Raiders don't get it done. We don't know who's going to start. It looks like Aiden O'Connell will have the opportunity to lose that job because he's going to keep the job if he plays decent. If Aiden O'Connell has a decent camp, and it should be a good camp, they're not playing tackle football much in camp, and then the preseason, I don't think he's going to play a lot, but I think both quarterbacks are going to play. As long as he doesn't flame out and have a 3-interception game in the first half, I think Aiden O'Connell will start the season off at quarterback. I think he deserves that. And I like Gardner Minshew if he's coming out of the bullpen. But let's get back to Devontae for a second. And I'd like to take a couple calls on this early before I get into the greatest games. What do you believe is the number one motivation for Devontae Adams right now other than winning a championship? We know that that's obvious. Everyone's going to say that. I want to win. We know that. What do you believe, everybody? I'm asking you, the diehard Raider Nation, what do you believe will be the number one reason why Devontae Adams stays here long term? If you want to say his wife and kids, that's fair. It seems like he really likes it out here. If you want to tell me the amount of balls he gets per game, if you want to talk about a future quarterback coming in like Dak Prescott, all that's wide open today. And why am I bringing up this topic? Because I watched 5 or 6 episodes of Receiver on Netflix, and I'm fascinated by Devontae and what we saw last year with Jimmy Garoppolo, Josh McDaniels, what's happened. There was a lot of frustration with Devontae last year. The guys who swarmed the locker room, Q Myers, Paul Gutierrez, Vic Tafer, everybody who covers the team knows it because they see his body language in the locker room after the game. I'm hosting the postgame show. I'm not in the locker room. So I don't know Devontae well. We're getting to know him better on Netflix. I would like him to be a Raider for life. I'm not a gambling man, so I'm not going to bet if he's going to be a Raider for 2 more years, 3 more years, 5 more years. Aging receivers on the back end of their career are normally let go, and I don't think Devontae's showing any wear and tear. Any wear and tear. He's not slow. Did you see on this Netflix series how he comes out of the route? How he's able to come out of the route, and everybody is in absolute amazement. Absolute amazement on how this guy breaks out of a route and is able to do what he's able to do. Just incredible. So I don't think Devontae's coming to the point where he's getting frustrated and he wants to leave Las Vegas, but that's what the media wants. The media on this Netflix series is going to read into his body language. They're going to read into Devontae at training camp in Costa Mesa, and then Aaron Rodgers is going to stir the pot. Aaron Rodgers is going to make it more complex because he really wants Devontae. And whatever Aaron Rodgers wants, they give him at the Jets. If they say, look, I want Devontae after week 7 because the Raiders aren't playing well, which I don't think is going to be the case, and they need him over there, and there's a massive trade that could be available, Aaron Rodgers is going to bring up that topic. Not JT the Brick in a third person. I'm not going to bring up the topic in week 7. Maybe unloading Devontae to the Jets makes sense to get a cash haul back in return and develop someone else. You're not going to hear that from me, but you're going to hear it from the Jets media. You're going to hear it from Aaron Rodgers. You're going to hear it on some of these NFL live shows, and they're starting to do it now. They are starting to do it now. Just by one little soundbite from Lake Tahoe where Aaron Rodgers says he's looking forward to playing with him again. Well, when? Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, has got 2 years left max. He's got this year coming off an Achilles tear, and he's got next year. I don't know, maybe he's setting this up to get Devontae next year so Aaron Rodgers can have one more year and play it with Devontae. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there because a lot of people are asking me about it, Twitter is trying to read Devontae's mind. And I try to preach to the Raider Nation about what I know. And I know a lot. There's some topics I know a lot more about than other people. I mean a lot more, but I keep it private because it's a private matter. I don't know much about Devontae. Met him a few times. We interviewed him at length on Media Day. But if Devontae walked into the building tonight at Summer League and walked by me, I don't think he'd know me. That's not a bad thing. He's got a wife and kids, and he plays football every day. So I want him to play well. When I had my little cameo voiceover in the Netflix series as we were going into week four at the Chargers, I basically said, you got to feed Devontae. And how many times you've heard me, if you listen to the pregame show, when I'm with Eric Allen, I said, get him the football. This was the debut of Devontae's series on Netflix and what I had to say on the pregame show.
Here we go, Sunday, October 1st at SoFi Stadium. The Las Vegas Raiders at the L.A. Chargers. Big day for the silver and black. Devontae, he's the beast. Get Devontae going early on.
Get Devontae going early on. I say it like a broken record. Get him the football. Make him happy. Get him engaged in the game. Just a couple of slants. A couple of three-yard slants over the middle. He goes down, gain of 8. Get him going. It's not hard, man. It is not hard to make Devontae happy. The problem is he's double-teamed over the top. Okay, he's double-teamed over the top with the safety. He's got a brilliant release against corners, especially young cornerbacks. Little head fake and gone. Get him the ball. Now, it's hard if you want to get it to him on a short route because you could have a linebacker sitting in that window. You could have a defensive tackle or defensive end rushing you with his hand up, trying to block the lane going at Devontae. But this is why Zeus and Brock Bowers add to Devontae this year. There's going to be, I think, a lot of linebackers in the box, and they're going to be playing closer to the line of scrimmage because of Brock Bowers and Zamir White. I think that Luke Getsy's going to want to run the ball first and throw it second. And as we watched the frustration of Devontae Adams last year, we could all tell that there were games where he absolutely disappeared because they couldn't get him the ball. And looking back at Devontae's career with the Raiders, he's had monster games where they went to him early and they fed the beast, like I said, right? They fed him early in the game, and then he'd just go out there and he'd be ready to roll. That's what this is about this year. The fascination I have for this year is twofold. Number one, how the national media doesn't even talk about the Raiders. They don't even think the Raiders will be competitive. I'm like, how is that? They won 8 games last year, and they fired their coach, and they had Brian Hoyer at quarterback, and Jimmy Garoppolo got injured, and they won 8 games. The 3-0 game against Minnesota changes the whole season. They're virtually playoff bound if they win that game. Right on the doorstep, and now everybody thinks they're going backwards. So I'm fascinated why the national media believes the Raiders are going to take a step back when they got better players. They lost Josh Jacobs, that's fair. Josh Jacobs was a hell of a player. But what they've added is a better roster than they had, which was a very competitive roster. But everybody's shining a white strobe light on the quarterback situation, giving Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew no chance. I mean, I'm hearing more people talk about gambling. What are the odds of who's going to start instead of talking about which quarterback can lead the Raiders to the playoffs? I mean, everybody's just guessing and wanting. I don't know what those prop bets are about. I don't bet. I don't bet prop bets. But is anybody betting who's going to start for the Raiders? I guess they'll take your money. The casino will take your money if you want to do that. So for Devontae today, if you want to call in and get in here, I want to hear what you have to say about his ability. His ability to be happy here and what it's going to take for him to get going. All right, the two games that I preview, I want to get to Raider 66 here. And it's the Carol Davis game, Mrs. Davis lighting the torch, the home opener with no fans, and then the Carr great win where they went for it in New Orleans, and that was a monster game. Raider 66, start us off. How are you?
Hey, good morning, or good afternoon, JT. Yeah, those are two great games. I can't wait to hear about those. I tell you, I honestly believe that if AP would have been the coach the entire year last year, we would have won 2-3 more games at least. So then you're putting us in the playoffs. So for everybody to think we're going backwards, they're giving no credit. But for Devontae, you know, call me a romantic, call me a homer, call me a Raider diehard, which I am. I honestly believe that the same reason that Derek Carr wanted to stick around and he told his agent and everybody that would listen, I will retire if I'm not a Raider for life. He grew up a Raider fan. His family's Raider people. They wanted to be part of the resurgence and the return to the top of the Raiders. That's what he said it. He wants to be involved in getting the Raiders back to where they were. And I honestly believe him. I don't know him. You say you know him a little bit. I know him even less than that, obviously. I believe that he wants this team, his team of his childhood, the silver and black. There is a mystique about it. Raider Nation, especially the old Raider Nation that went through the glory years, we know all about that feeling and wanting them to get back to the top. The new Raider Nation, I hope they experience it so much, and I hope it starts this year. But I honestly believe that that is the main reason that Davante Adams will remain with the Raiders. Now, there's great storylines out there, him rejoining Aaron Rodgers in New York. New York's got a great team. They got a great defense. They got that young receiver. They got Aaron Rodgers. And if they put Davante on that team, oh, my God, you know, it could be Joe Namath all over again. But I think that he is going to resist that allure because of the mystique of the silver and black, the Raiders. He wants to see them return to glory, and so do we. And I hope he gets his wish, and we all see it in a couple of years, this year and for years beyond. Thanks, JT, for the call. I look forward to hearing your show.
Yeah, you appreciate it. Thank you, Raider 66. You know, the Davante, I like stars. I like star power with the Raiders. Cliff Branch, Fred Biletnikoff, Mike Haynes, Lester Hayes, Ken Stabler. I like star power. We have a couple of stars on this team, two of the best in the league, and Mad Max Crosby and Davante Adams. I don't want to lose the stars. Because if you're going to lose the stars, then you might as well just break down the team and go on a youth movement. You got to have a couple of veterans on every team. Colt Miller is becoming a very good, I would say borderline elite. He's got to make a Pro Bowl. I can't sit here and say Colt Miller is a Pro Bowler if he's not a Pro Bowler. He's got to get into a Pro Bowl. He's got to do it. But he's an elite player on the verge of being elite. And they have a couple of really good offensive linemen who are young that they're building around. They're building a core of young offensive linemen at left guard, center, and right guard. Those are young players who could be Raiders for a long time. And you could build an offensive line around that. And then, you know, Brock Bowers is one of the biggest game changers we've seen, period. I mean, he is an absolute game changer. All right, when we come back, we're going to get into one of the two games we're going to chronicle today. We're going to go back to New Orleans and the great Derek Carr game. You won't believe the stats in this game. I think it's an honorable mention of one of the great Raider games of all time.
I want whoever's going to look the best, you know, when it's time, when it's live bullets. So at the end of the day, I don't have a preference other than the fact that I want somebody that's confident and ready to go when it's time to do it. So whoever that is, that's who I want throwing the ball. I think right now, if I had to say, I think Aiden has the job because, you know, obviously he was here before and that's the way that it was. He was running with the ones more. And until Gardner comes in and, you know, takes the job away from him, I think it's Aiden's job right now. And he doing what he got to do to hold on to it. We still got to keep working and, you know, do what we got to do to grow and get better. We could definitely get better than where we are. You know, he and I, our connection, him individually, even me. At this point in the year, this is not where you are going to show your best.
All right, that's pretty good. That's really good sound as Devontae's walking the red carpet for Netflix and telling you about what he thinks. You're not going to get much of that content from Raider players. Raider players in Costa Mesa are going to meet the media in Southern California after practice, and they're going to be asked daily, who should be the quarterback. Hey, how'd Aiden play today? Hey, Davante, what'd you think of Gardner on that up-and-out route? That's all you're going to hear because the media, rightfully so, loves the quarterback controversy. You know, this is not a controversy yet, but it's shaping up to be a really good debate topic. It doesn't have to be controversial. Controversial would be Gardner Minshew not talking to Aiden O'Connell or Aiden O'Connell blowing off Gardner Minshew and not walking past him and not saying hello. That would be a controversy. We got none of that. No controversy. One's going to be better than the other. I don't think it's going to be obvious. It might just be by a little bit. If it's obvious, the decision's going to be easy. But if it's not obvious, these guys are going to have to throw really well at practice, and then they're going to be rewarded with starts in the preseason. I would think that Aiden O'Connell would start Minneapolis, and maybe you start Aiden O'Connor, Gardner Minshew against the Cowboys. But I want to see these quarterbacks play. They're not making a lot of money. Okay, they're not future Hall of Famers. Don't worry about them spraining an ankle in the preseason. Let them play. Let them get reps with real players in the preseason. And let's see what they can do. We put Carr on a shelf every year in the preseason, and it didn't work. Okay, Derek broke his leg in a game where the Raiders were already in the playoffs. Okay, anytime you could hurt your ankle, break your leg, break a pinky on your throwing hand, all that could happen. So let these guys play. All right, let's get to the greatest games. This one comes up on September 11th, 2016, as the Raiders rallied to beat the Saints in the regular season opener and set the tone for a playoff season, which was really unbelievable for Oakland coach Jack Del Rio. Calling for a do-or-die two-point conversion was less of a gamble than a declaration of the season that was going to be ahead. Del Rio had no interest in a conservative point after and let the offense know it well before the decision had to be made. So when Derek Carr hit Seth Roberts for a 10-yard touchdown and cut the lead to a single point with 47 seconds left, Janikowski stood far from the action, helmet at his side, watching Carr deliver a decisive fade pass to Michael Crabtree. That was an important game because it set the tone for the Raiders. And that was a very dramatic year, everybody. Very dramatic year. And the Raiders set the tone early in that game. I loved that game. Another game, I hosted the pregame. Everybody thought the season could be great, and it was. This was memorable. Let's take a look at this game. We start off with Murray on the ground for a touchdown run, and this gives the Raiders a 10-3 lead.
First and goal for the Raiders after a gain of 34. Murray has it. Latavius Murray bouncing into the end zone. Touchdown, Raiders.
Watch your center right here. Rodney Hudson is one of the most underrated blockers in the NFL. Completely washes Nick Fairley out of that play. And then just leave it to your big back to run right over the linebacker in for the touchdown.
Chris Myers on the call. Hey, my good friend. I'm going to text him at the top of the hour. Let him know we're playing some of his sound bites. But this game really was back and forth. This is Drew Brees at his absolute best in the prime of his career, finding Cooks for a touchdown.
Gain of 25 on that play. Brees, end zone. The catch is held on to. Brandon Cooks has a touchdown.
Beautiful on that. You know, Brees was just, at that time, who was better than Drew Brees, other than Tom Brady in the league, who's just incredible, can make all those plays. And Oluwale, how about this name from the past when we knew this was going to be a high-scoring game? Here's another touchdown for Oakland on the ground.
Second down goal from the two-yard line. Jermaine Oluwale checks in the fullback.
Keep an eye on Andre Holmes. Big, huge target here at the bottom of the screen. You know they're in man-to-man defense.
A six-foot-four receiver. Handoff. Jermaine Oluwale. Touchdown, Raiders.
Now, Chris, I think you know better than I do. You call Jermaine, I call Andre Holmes, but they're both involved in this play. I'm not gonna give you all the credit, but watch 18 walk in. Talk about the big body. He puts it right on Kenny Vaccaro here on the line of scrimmage. And that's where the gap is. Jermaine Oluwale is going to run over that corner in that tackling opportunity. Touchdown, Raiders.
All right, now this is a fun fact here. On that Oluwale touchdown, the Raiders went up 24. You know, when you look at the score here, let me double check here. Yeah, so that touchdown, but here's one that I did not know until our staff and research put this one together, thanks to the Raiders. Jalen Richard ran 75 yards for a touchdown on his first NFL carry. I didn't know that I maybe you did. I forgot it. I don't remember that at the time. This is a milestone. Listen to this.
New Raider. What's up?
Jalen Richard. He's loose. Jalen Richard. It's going to be a touchdown, Raiders. 75 yards.
Incredible on that play. His first touch, his first run. Obviously, at this point, it's the opener on the opener, and they're able to do this. Just incredible that the Raiders were able to pull this one off here. And for his first touch to go 75 yards to the house, that is a fun fact, man. I'm going to celebrate that. But Breeze came right back in this game. This is when the game turned into a shootout.
And then another 10 yards on the Michael Thomas recovery and advancement, and the Saints are out of timeouts. Travaris Cadet in with John Kuhn. Cadet a receiver. Breeze throws, end zone, touchdown, Cadet!
All right, so this is where it gets really good, everybody, as we're looking back at the greatest Raider games of all time. This is an honorable mention. September 11, 2016, the Raiders rallied to beat the Saints, and here's how the rally came down. Amari Cooper was involved in this game coming up here, but the Roberts touchdown in the fourth quarter. This is when the Raiders' sideline exploded and they had a chance to come back and win.
That affects them here on this second down play.
Catch made, Seth Roberts spinning into the end zone. Touchdown, Raiders!
All you're asking for is an opportunity at redemption. Seth Roberts. Oh, wow. And Derek Carr is telling his offense, get on the field. We are going for two here.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Wow, you got to be kidding me. The Raiders decide to go for two. And this was the play of the season, in my opinion here. The great Del Rio season. The Raiders on the road, opening up the season, want to go for it, have an opportunity to win the game. Here it is.
Maybe he doesn't trust his defense. Maybe he's trying to go for the juggler right here at the end and make that offense have to go down and kick a field goal to win.
And here's the other thing. If you're going to do that, save your timeouts, because then even if the Saints have the ball and you stop them, you can stop the clock with your timeouts. Yeah, but now you only have one.
Interesting call either way, Chris. But I got to tell you what, the guts to do this, and for sure, you must trust the moxie of your third-year quarterback to get in the end zone right here. Let's see what they got.
Giving up the extra point tie. Going for two. Carr for Crabtree. He has it! He held on to it! Better be careful with a celebration there. You get a penalty, and you still have to contend with Drew Brees.
And the Raiders go on to win the game. So that game made it into one of our greatest games of all time. Honorable mention. Again, why is it not in the top 10? Well, it's a road opener. Big game. Well, it's tough to get all-time great games that were played in September or October unless something magical happened. And this was pretty magical, and it got consideration, and we put it here in our notes. So thanks again for that one. As the Raiders make a statement and win that game, Derek Carr finished with 319 yards and one touchdown pass against the Saints defense, coached by former Raiders head coach Dennis Allen. The Raiders rushed for 167 yards, including touchdown runs of 6 yards by Latavius Murray and Olawale on that 2-yard one. So how is that for stats? This is the type of stat you'd always want to see in a Raider game. Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, Rich Gannon, Derek Carr, 319 yards passing, 167 yards on the ground. That's a Raider offense that was kicking, and that got the Raiders going in that season. So we'll have another game next hour, and it's also against New Orleans. So Bobby decided we'll do these two games today, and the next is the Carol Davis game, Mrs. Davis lighting the torch. No fans, COVID, and a remarkable game. Remarkable game. We'll get to that next hour. 702-365-9200. Here's Thor out in Summerlin near my dirt. How are you, Thor?
JT, I'm hot, brother. I'm hot. But I'm hanging in. I had a call in today. Honestly, that's my favorite game I've ever been to. That Saints game, that weekend, that everything. There's certain things that people won't remember. They won't remember there was at least, I'd say, 8,000 to 10,000 Raider fans marching from Bourbon Street to the stadium. Like, solid. It was crazy. I was getting my phone blown up by people in the Bay Area talking about they seen us on TV marching down. It was incredible. That game was absolutely nuts. I remember my good friend Serge, we were right in that end zone, and when we got the ball, I said, man, we're going to drive. We're going to score. Are we going for two? And every Raider fan around me, and literally that whole end zone was 80% Raider fans. Every Raider fan around me were like, hell no. And I was like, please go for two. And when they lined up to go for two, everyone looked at me like, if we don't get this, we're going to beat you up. And we got it. We went crazy. A lot of people don't also remember the Saints came, drove back down a little bit, got off a kick that had the leg. It was like a 60-yarder. It definitely had the leg. I had a great vantage point. I could see it was trailing off. It went a little bit wide left. But what an incredible game that just for the fans, for the people who were out there that day that marched and had a great time coming out. It was so hot before, and then after it was raining. What a great man. That was my favorite Raider game ever. I had to call it.
Wow. Thor, thank you for the call. That's exactly what we're trying to do, exactly with this show. Get some fans who remember the game on television, were at the game, can tell the story after I go through the game. That's all we want to do here. That's why we came up with this. We don't expect you to be able to talk about a 1963 game and the details of it, but Thor was at that game, and he called in. I appreciate it. That's what we're trying to do. It's not brain surgery. You pick some of the greatest games, and we debate them. Did they make it in the top 10? This game got close. It's a good game. New Orleans is the theme today, and we're going to play New Orleans again this year in New Orleans on December 28th. We are brought to you by our great friends from Modelo. It's Friday. That means my bucket of Modelos. Come join me, will you?
Lutz made from 42 in this game. He missed from 50, was wide left, showed the leg, and he made from 20, and that was blocked. But it still went through the uprights. For the win from 61. No! And the Raiders win. Del Rio's gamble comes off.
Del Rio's gamble. Chris Myers on the call for Fox. JT, back with you. I really like that game. I'm happy we were able to break it down. We're doing something that, you know, we've never done here on the flagship of the Raiders, which we're proud of. We're going back in the archives here in the summer to try to give you some summer programming. One baseball topic before I wrap up this hour. We'll have another game next hour. Paul Skenes, the Pittsburgh Pirate pitcher, had a no-hitter through seven innings, and the Pirates took him out. That is absolutely gutless and pathetic that this young superstar, who's been named the All-Star Game starter, was pulled during a no-hitter. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. You can't look back in the history of this game, Bob Gibson, Nolan Ryan, Steve Carlton, go to the greatest pitchers ever, Greg Maddux. Imagine if any of the legends were taken out of a game that had less than 100 pitchers in the game. What I always say about this is you give them the eighth inning to start the inning. The first pitch of the eighth inning could be a pop-up to the catcher, one out. Then you're going to let him finish the eighth inning. You're not going to take him out in the middle of the... The fifth pitch of the eighth inning could be a ground ball back to the pitcher's mound, two outs. You don't take out a pitcher who's that good in a no-hitting situation. You wonder why the Pirates are the Pirates and no one's ever given a crap about them, going back only to Willie Stargell and Dave Parker. Really upset about that. You know that Blake Snell won two Cy Young Awards and he's never pitched a complete game, never, as in capital N. How do you take this guy who's 6'6", Paul Skeens and take him out of a game. How do you do it? He's starting the All-Star game. You pull him out of his last start as he's throwing a no-hitter. 11 strikeouts, and you take him out of the game. Just gutless. Jorge, thanks for waiting. Go ahead. Wrap it up this hour. What's going on?
Hey, appreciate you, JT. Yeah, I can say, just real quick on baseball, Sean Manaea threw a no-hitter, and he threw all 9 innings, and, you know, I don't know why they can't do that anymore. But anyway, you know, I just got really excited when you started talking about 2016 Raiders, just because, you know, I always come on here and talk about how, you know, I wasn't around in real time to witness some of these other games, but just being with friends that day, starting the day with a win, because you know the Raiders are playing in the East Coast, you know, and in retrospect, JT, I think, you know, that's Derek Carr against a Hall of Fame quarterback coach, the Del Real swagger. I think he's the one that brought the swagger and bold offensive players. I really just was so excited, and a lot of it had to do with the offensive line, you know, and mm-hmm. just how much Pro Bowl talent we had. And I think, you know, to Devontae's point about the documentary, you know, the offense was atrocious last year at times, mm-hmm. and with all the talent they have, I could feel it from the screen just how disappointed and furious Devontae was, because he knew how much talent this offensive had. And I think that's the sentiment for the majority of Raider fans. I can't speak on analysts and, mm-hmm. and what they talk about, but the O-line needs to play a big part. They need to play at a Pro Bowl level, JT, to give the quarterback time. And you know that Devontae wants to be a Raider. You know that we arguably mm-hmm. have a better team than that 2016 team. But, you know, thanks for bringing up the D.C. game. I really appreciate and hearing a lot about that, just reliving some of those good moments for us young Raider fans. So, you know, looking forward for the rest of the top 10 later on.
Yep, we got another game coming up here. We got another honorable mention game that I'm going to lead with against New Orleans, the Mrs. Carol Davis game, as we call it, coming up. You don't want to miss that. I just got a text from a listener in Tahoe where they're having the celebrity golf tournament that Tim Brown got a hole-in-one on the 12th hole and won a Mastercraft boat. How about that? Tim Brown with a hole-in-one at the American Century Championship, the celebrity golf tournament. That is awesome. That should be all over SportsCenter and all over Raiders media, I hope, later today. Final hour of the week coming up next. We're excited about that as we're ready to roll as we look back at the top 10 Raider games of all time.